So we started yesterday mentioning, bringing up the topic at least of Iver Lo Sitei Michshol, and it came up because our Gemara discusses how to do tshuva when a person becomes pasul eid. So the Gemara says that if a person, the Gemara tells a story actually of a guy, that a guy was found to be selling treifos, and therefore he was pasul the eidos. And he was only able to do tshuva when he went to a place where no one recognized him, and he was willing to lose money on a treifa, etc. So pasha pshat in the Gemara is, what was the psul eidus over here? Is that the psul eidus was that he was willing to do averos for money. The fact that he was willing to let somebody else eat a treifa because he didn't want to lose the money on the animal. So that's the pasha pshat of why did you get it, or you, okay. That's the pashup shot of what the Avera is. However, we saw yesterday that the Rambam writes in Hilchas Eidos, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tes, and again, I didn't include the Rambam in Mar Makomos, hopefully you had a chance to look it up, but the Rambam in Hilchas Eidos, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Tes writes that, let's say the person didn't lose any money. He was just mostly he didn't make any money off of it. He was just mostly treifos mitachas yadei. For instance, the Rambam describes a case where you have a fellow who's a shochet. You bring him your animals. He doesn't sell his own animals. You bring him your animals. You have him shechted, be bodek for treifos, and give it back to you when he charges for his services. Whether the animal's kosher treif, it's going to cost you the same amount of money. And the Rambam says that even such a person who is mostly treifos mitachas yado, you brought your animal to him, he shechted it, was bodek it, told you it's okay, gave it back to you, turned out it was a treifa, such a person is also pasul eidos. Now over here, he's not sinning for monetary gain. So why is he pasul eidos? So someone suggested yesterday, I forgot who in Shir said, well, it sort of is for monetary gain because you're trying to keep your customers happy. And that all gets, you know, that is just trying to keep his business running smoothly. All his customers will be happy, even though they know that it has nothing to do with him, whether it's a treif or not. But that's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says the reason why he's pasul eidos is that it's a chazaka that he's an ochel treifos. It's chazaka that he eats treifos also. So the obvious kasha is, what do you mean it's chazaka that he eats treifos? There's a big difference between allowing others to do an avera and doing an avera yourself. That there's a chazaka that such a person eats treifos. So the Kesef Mishnah says, yeah, Mstam, it's the same. Mstam, it's chazaka that he eats treifos. But l'chora, it's not pashut at all that there's such a chazaka that someone who allows others to eat treifos will eat treifos. So I started to mention yesterday that there is a major chakira within the concept of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. The Isser Darais of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Someone asked me after Shir yesterday if there is an Isser, who was it? I can't tell which one, Judah or Tepper. What? Oh, Evan. You're pointing around in between them. Okay, yeah, so Evan asked me after Shir yesterday whether it's a violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol to actually put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Because we think of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol as the Isser of causing someone to do averos. Is it also Usser to actually literally put a stumbling block in front of a blind person? Which is a fascinating question. It's not really the topic we're going to discuss. I once accidentally did it. My aunt and uncle used to live right their apartment was in Israel, in Rehovot, was right above a blind person's apartment, and I was schlepping a whole bunch of bags up to their apartment, up three flights, and with so many bags I dropped one like right in front of the door of the downstairs neighbor, and I figured, I'll just come right back down for it. I didn't realize, and I thank God I made it back down before he left his apartment. But I was thinking afterwards, you know, because I told them, I dropped it back downstairs. Like, no, go, there's a blind man down there. So I was thinking, wow, that's how rare is that, that a person actually violates Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol in the Pashut sense, in the most Pashut sense. But there's a discussion, the Achronim, Milchas Chinuch, I think, discusses it, whether one is in violation of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol when you do that. Now, in general, that discussion really relates to the concept of Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. What does that mean exactly? The Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, that the Pasha Pshat of Pasuk is always correct. How literally do we take Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto? Does the Pasha Pshat always have to mean the literal translation of the words? Or is it sometimes self-understood that the most Pasha Pshat is not the literal translation of the words? Meaning, there in any language, there are lots of expressions in English that everyone knows when you say it, you don't really mean what the words actually actually mean. Examples?
It's raining cats and dogs.
Okay, good, right? It's Pasha Pshat is that it has nothing to do with a cat or a dog, right? Pasha Pshat is it just has to do with a lot of rain. So can you say the same thing with Chumash? There's a Machlokas Rambam and Ravid about Las Lavo. I'll just say this for a minute or two. There's a Machlokas Rambam and Ravid about Las Lavo what the world is going to be like when Mashiach comes. So the Rambam writes that Ein Bein Olam Azel Limosam Mashiach El Shibud Malchios Bulvad. That the only difference between nowadays and what the world is going to look like when Mashiach comes is that Israel will be at peace. The other nations of the world will be at peace with Israel. We're not going to have to fight any wars. But other than that, the world is just going to run normally. You'll still have to get a job. There will still be rich people and poor people. There will still, we'll have all of the challenges that a society will have, except the Jewish people will have Israel, and in a way that others will be at peace with, which hasn't happened since 1948. They've never been at peace with us. So that's the only difference. Rambam says, there are psukim all over Navi that talk about all these miraculous things that are going to happen, about how gar ze'evim keves, the pasuk says that a wolf and a lamb are going to live together in harmony. So that's very different than the natural world as we know it. So the Rambam says, no, that doesn't literally mean gar ze'evim keves. That's speaking allegorically. The ze'ev is a reference to all the Arab states that surround Israel. The keves is Israel, and gar ze'evim keves, we're going to live at peace with our neighbors. That's what gar ze'evim keves means. Nothing to do with actual animals living peacefully together. So the Ravid on the spot, the Ravid says on the Rambam, what do you mean? V'halo b'torah k'siv v'shpati chayera min ha'aretz. But it says in Torah, v'shpati chayera min ha'aretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get rid of all the wild beasts, all the bad animals from the world. Isn't that a break of from the natural order of the world? So everyone asks on the Ravid, what are you talking about, v'halo b'torah k'siv? The Rambam just got through saying that even though there are psukim that sound like they're describing supernatural phenomena, those psukim are allegorical. So what's the Ravid asking? Vishpati chayei ramin haaretz. Why is that any different than gar ze'evim keves? The Rambam, no problem with gar ze'evim keves, because it's allegorical. So vishpati chayei ra means who's a chayei ra? Ahmadinejad is a chayei ra. It doesn't have to mean a chayei ra that walks on fours. It could be speaking allegorically about bad people. Well, what's so difficult? So Rav Reuven Margolios, in one of his svarim, points out that no, the Ravid was very meduyuk in his lashon. What the Ravid was saying is that Navi speaks allegorically. In Neviim you find allegory in the way that the Navi expresses itself. The whole Navi is pretty much of the Navi is allegorical. A lot of the Nevuos are not meant to be understood literally. But the Torah, we have a rule, Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. So the Ravid wasn't just asking, oh, there's another pasuk aside from Gar Ze'evim Keves of Yishpati Chayei Ramin Haaretz. No, that's not the Kasha. The Kasha is that the pasuk that I'm quoting, says the Ravid, is not in the Navi. V'alo B'Torah K'siv. The Lashon of the Ravid is so meduyuk. B'Torah K'siv. It says in the Torah, Yishpati Chayei Ramin Haaretz. So what would the Rambam's response be to that? It says it in the Torah. The Torah, Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto. The Rambam would probably respond that sometimes pasuk pshat of a pasuk is not its literal translation. Sometimes pasuk says it's raining cats and dogs, and the pasuk pshat means that there's a lot of water coming from the skies, no cats and no dogs. That's the pasuk pshat. Vishpati chayei ramin haaretz. Pasuk pshat has nothing to do with chayos. It has to do with us and our enemies. So that may relate to whether Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Michshol must also be taken literally, or might only mean don't cause somebody to do an aver or give somebody bad advice. If you say that Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto means that the literal translation must always be correct, if you say that's what Eina Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto means, then Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Michshol has to include also putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. But if you say that no, it has nothing to do with literal translation being correct, it just means that the Pashut expression of what Chumash is trying to teach me has to be correct, so then Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Michshol may have nothing to do with putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. But there is a famous chakira in Lifnei Iver which I thought relates to our sugya. And Rav Asher Weiss in Sefer Vayikra, Siman Lamed Ches, Os Beis raises this chakira, brings it up in the context of a comment of the Amunah Shmuel. The Amunah Shmuel in Simin Yud Dalet discusses the following possibility. Let's say a person is not a bar chiyuva in a given avera. Let's say I'm not prohibited from entering a cemetery for a very simple reason. I am not a kohen. But kohanim are prohibited from entering a cemetery. Do I violate Lifnei Iver when I shove a kohen into a cemetery? Or I bring a dead body into this building? Is it a violation of Lifnei Iver on my part if I can't be in violation of that avera because that avera is not my avera? The avera of Tumas Kohanim is only an avera for kohanim. So the Emunah Shmuel says that you cannot violate Lifnei Iver unless you're causing the other person to violate an avera that you yourself are commanded in. And everyone wonders, what's the Emunah Shmuel talking about? Why should that be the case? That why mehechi tasty that should be so? What difference? Obviously, the issue of Lifnei Iver is I'm causing someone else to do an avera, and that's bad in the eyes of God because God wants people to do mitzvah. So when I cause someone to do an avera, I'm doing something that God looks down upon, right? That's what Lifnei Iver is all about. So why does it matter whether I'm included in the avera? Bottom line is I got someone to do an avera. I got someone to do something bad. So shouldn't that itself be a problem? So the Rav Asher Weiss explains that the way to understand the Emunah Shmuel is based on this one chakira that, again, I said, I think there are perhaps eight nafkaminas in this chakira as to how to understand the Isra of Lifnei Iver. There are two general ways to understand Lifnei Iver. One is that you can understand that the Isra of Lifnei Iver is that there's an Isra in the Torah to cause somebody to sin. Period. So I cause somebody to eat chazer, or I cause somebody to kill a person, or I cause somebody to wear shatness. The avera that in all three of those instances, I did the same avera. I could have caused somebody to kill somebody. Somebody else I caused to violate shatness. Someone else I caused to violate anything. Eating treif. In all three cases, I did the same avera. What was the avera? Lifnei iver lo sitin michshal. It's one avera. It's an avera of Lifnei Iver to cause somebody else to do averas. And it doesn't matter what avera they do. It's my avera. It's a separate avera. It's an independent avera called Lifnei Iver. The other way to look at it, though, is that Lifnei Iver is not an independent avera. Lifnei Iver is an iser prati. It's a prat in every single time, in every single avera. Meaning, when a god said, do not eat chazer treif, what God really meant is, not only should you not eat chazer, you also should not cause somebody else to eat chazer. It's part of the avera of eating chazer. When God said, do not wear shatness, God was saying, not only should you not wear shatness, you also shouldn't cause somebody to wear shatness. And that's part of the avera of shatness. So then it would turn out that if I caused one person to wear shatness, another person to eat chazer, and another person to kill a man, so I didn't violate the same avera three times. I violated three separate averos. I had a chelek in a murder, I had a chelek in eating chazer, I had a chelek in wearing shatness. Those are three separate averos, and I have a chelek in each of them. It's not an independent issur, it's a detail within each of the other issur. That's the famous chakira. Now, if you say like that sad of Lifnei Iver, then you'd understand very well that the comment of the Emunah Shmuel. The Emunah Shmuel says that I do not have an issur of Lifnei Iver to cause a kohen to be tamei, because I'm not a kohen. But he's a kohen. I made him tamei. I didn't make me tamei. Why shouldn't it be Lifnei Iver? So according to this side, you understand very well. Because if Lifnei Iver is a detail within each avera, it's not a separate Isser of Lifnei Iver. It's an Isser of, when I cause somebody else to be Tameh, it's Ki'ilu, I participated in becoming Tameh. But I don't have an Isser to become Tameh. So it should be no problem for me to participate in becoming Tameh. As long as I don't have an Isser, then there would be no problem. There should be no problem of me causing somebody else to become Tameh. Now, probably Midrabanan it's Asser, and it's certainly not a nice thing to do. Fine. But is it technically Lifnei Iver? That might be the explanation of the Emunah Shmuel. You have a very similar concept. Yeah?
So could you say the reverse is true? Also that if you see someone doing an Isser, you have a Chiyuv to stop them?
That's a separate discussion. Yivamas Kuf Yedalei about Beis Mitzuvin LaFrisha or Ein Beis Mitzuvin LaFrisha when you have a katan that violates an iser. That is, and that's also a mitzvah of tochacha. That's a mitzvah of saseh. That's not Lifnei Iver. That gets into, you have That gets into those two other sugyas about katan that violates an aveira, whether beis mitzvah not frisho, rain beis mitzvah not frisho, and the mitzvah of tochacha, the mitzvah of ochiach tochiach, of correcting somebody when they're doing something wrong. Lifnei iver, literally on a daraisa level, is only violated when you're the cause of the aveira. Meaning, if you allow someone to do an aveira, or even if you help somebody do an aveira, but they could have done it without you, that would only be lifnei iver midrabanan. Lifnei iver midaraisa is only when they could not do it without you. So the Gemara Nazir describes as trei abri dinara, on two sides of a river. You're on one side, the Nazir is on the other side of the river, you got the wine on your side of the river. And the Nazir says, hey, can you chuck me that bottle of wine? So he has no way of getting it unless you throw it to him, because he's on the other side of the river and he can't swim, or there are sharks in the river, or whatever. He can't get to your side. The only way you can violate the aveira is by you helping him. That's lifnei iver midaraisa. If it's on chad avri dinara, if you're both on the same side of the river, he's just too lazy to bend down to pick up the bottle of wine, and he asks you to pass it to him, that would be lifnei iver midrabanan, because he's able to do it without you. So when we're talking lifnei iver, let's assume daraisa now, that you're literally enabling him. He can't do it without you. So, yeah?
It's not to do with that, but to do with this non-communal.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a if you learn a mitzvah, you could still get the mitzvah even though it's not really possible to be achieved these days?
The Gemara in Taina says that Avraham Avinu was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that your children are going to inherit Eretz Yisrael and they'll be able to bring Karbanos. And Avraham Avinu said, "Bamei idaki rashena? How do I know that they're going to get anything?" And the Gemara says what he was asking is, great, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, they'll bring Karbanos and be able to do all this stuff. What are they going to do when there's no Beis HaMikdash? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response was, "Unashalma parim svasenu." That when there's no ability to bring Karbanos, speak about Karbanos, learn the parasha of Karbanos, and that will be ki'ilu that you did it. That's also the way that En Yaakov explains the famous Gemara in Shabbos, where the ger comes to Hillel and says, I want you to be megayer me, al menasa, you teach me kol ha-Torah kula, al regalachas. So Hillel's response was, mada alach sni l'chaver chalos avid, whatever you don't like, don't do to your friend, and Idach zil gemar. So the Ein Yaakov, or one of the Perushim on the Ein Yaakov, explains that madalach sni lechaver chalos savid is all the ben adam lechaveros. Ben adam lechavero, don't do anything you don't want. All the ben adam lemakoms, all of the things that you're not going to be able to necessarily do, all the mitzvahs for kohanim, for levim, all of those other things, he was telling him, idach zil gemar. There are plenty of things that you're not going to be able to do. Zil gemar, go learn about them. And when you learn about them, that will be your partial key. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim writes, that it's such a mitzvah to learn Seder Kachim bizman hazeh, because we don't have Karbanos anymore. So when you learn about Seder Kachim, there's a partial kiyum. It's not an actual kiyum. It's a partial kiyum of the mitzvah. Rav Shechter always understood it very literally, that reading Karbanos is an actual kiyum d'orais of Karbanos. He thought that according to Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, Daf Hey, even though it doesn't sound that way so clearly from Rabbeinu Yonah, Rav Shechter thought according to Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachos, that it's a bigger mitzvah to say Karbanos every morning than to say Psukei Dezimra. Because Karbanos might be a kiyum d'orais of Karbanos. Whereas Pesukat Zimra is just Pesukat Zimra. It's not a Kiyum Darais at all. But yeah, you were saying?
So based on that, can't you say that even though you can't be Chayiv in this Aveira yourself, that you could be Chayiv through someone else? Because there is this concept of, even though it doesn't really apply to you, you could still achieve it in a sense.
Right, but that's why I said it's partial. It's not to be taken so literally. I don't think it's meant to be taken so literally. So, you know, so over here, even though this guy is doing it, if it's not nogea to you, it's not your aver. It would be like you walked into a cemetery, which is no problem if you're not a Kohen, right? So that's what it would seem. Now, Rav Asher Weiss says we do have similar ideas to this concept that you're participating in getting a chelek of the other guy's isser rather than doing your own independent isser. We have a similar idea in two other places. He says one place is in Rabbi Kiva Eger on Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim, Simon Reish Ayin Aleph in Hilchus Kiddush. Rabbi Kiva Eger understands the rush, likely, you know, misunderstands the rush in a certain sense, because if you look at the rush, it's not so clear at all that the rush is saying this. But Rabbi Kiva Eger understands that the rush is saying that we have a concept called Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, which means that if someone else is still obligated in the mitzvah, has not yet done it, I have a responsibility to make sure that they do it. That's why if I already said Kiddush, but my wife hasn't heard Kiddush yet, I'm allowed to say Kiddush again to be motzi her. I was already yotzei, and if someone is not chayiv, can't be motzi somebody who is chayiv. No, Arvis tells me that even though I was already yotzei, it's ki'ilu I'm not yotzei because I'm still responsible for her. I'm responsible for every other Jew who still hasn't been yotzei. So it's ki'ilu I still have a little bit left to do in this mitzvah, and therefore I'm allowed to be motzi them in Kiddush. So Rabbi Kiveger assumes that the Rush says that if I'm not chayiv in a mitzvah at all, then I can't be motzi someone who is chayiv in a mitzvah. That someone who's not a bar chiyuva, if I was chayiv and I was just yotzei already, fine. But if I'm not even, that's the concept of yatza motzi, that's arvus. But if I'm not included in a mitzvah at all, then I don't have the ability to be motzi somebody who is chayiv in a mitzvah. So that's the, the truth is, that's probably what the Rush actually is saying. Kiveger takes it a step further, understands it even a little bit differently. But that's what the Rush actually says pretty clearly, that there's no arvus on a mitzvah that I'm not chayiv in. Why not? If arvus means that I'm responsible for other Jews, so I'm responsible for other Jews. And if they have an obligation, why does it matter to me that I'm not chayiv in the Yisra of Tumas Kanim, the mitzvah of going to be Mevarich, Klal Yisrael, each and every day in Birchas Kohanim, assuming Eretz Yisrael each and every day in Birchas Kohanim. I'm not chayiv in that, but yet I'm responsible. If I see there's a Kohen outside, and I know he hasn't duchened yet, and there's Birchas Kohanim about to go on in the shul, I'm responsible to say, come on in, go duchen, because I have a level of responsibility for him, don't I? Why should I not be Bechlal Arvus on something that I personally am not chayiv in? So it must be that the Svara is very similar to this. That much like the idea of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitin Michshol, you have to say that Arvus is not that I have a chiyuv to look out for every other Jew. It's that part of my obligation in any given mitzvah is to do the mitzvah and make sure others do the mitzvah. It's a detail within each mitzvah. So if I'm not obligated in Birchas Kohanim, for instance, I have no obligation to make sure others do the mitzvah. I'm not included in the arvus for Birchas Kohanim. If for whatever reason I'm not obligated in Kiddush, I have no responsibility to make sure others say Kiddush. It's only in those mitzvahs that I am obligated in, even if I did it already for myself, but my obligation is defined as an obligation for myself and to make sure that others do it as well. That's a similar svara you find in the concept of arvus. And the third svara you find, third place where you find such a similar svara, is in the Torah in Yerodea, Simen Shinai and Gimel. The Torah writes that a Kohen is mitzuva not to allow a Kohen Katan to become Tameh. Sounds from the Torah that a Yisrael has no responsibility to prevent a Kohen Katan from becoming Tameh. So why? Why should Yisrael have no responsibility? Again, same idea. Maybe when it comes to the Isra of causing a Kohen to become Tamei, it's not that I'm in violation of separate Isra of Lifnei Iver. No, it's that I have a Chelek in his Avera. And if I'm not Mitzuva in that Avera, so then I have no Chelek in that Avera. But be that as it may, leaving all the other examples aside, fundamental Chakira is Lifnei Iver and Isra, the way this is said in Yeshivas, is Lifnei Iver and Isra Klali or Isra Prati? Is it a general iser that's independent, or is it a detail in each and every avera? An iser prati, a detail in each and every avera. So one nafkamina we said is, what if you are machshil somebody in an avera that you yourself are not mitzuva in? Let's go another nafkamina. There is the Sefer HaChinuch writes that the iser is lo lahachshil b'nei Yisrael l'aseis lehem etzara'a. The Yisra of Lifnei Iver is not to be machshil Jewish people to give them bad advice. That's the Sefer HaChinuch Mitzvah Reish Lamed Beis. So the Minchas Chinuch wonders, why does it say that the Yisra is to cause Jewish people, to give Jewish people bad advice? It's an afna gemara in Avot Zar Davavim Beis that you're not even allowed to give an Avera, give an Isra to a non-Jew. The gemara in Avot Zar says, Minayin shalo yoshir adam kos yayin lenazir ve'ever min achai lebnei noach. How do I know, this week's parasha, how do I know that you're not allowed to give wine to a nazir, nor aver min achai to a guy? So, lifnei aver lo sitin michshol. So how can the Sefer HaChinuch say that it's only a violation of lifnei iver to a Jew to give a Jew bad advice, but not to a guy. So that's very strange. So the Minchas Chinuch says, so you have to say that it's aser even to give bad advice to a non-Jew. Like I said before, lifnei iver means two things. It means causing someone to do an avera, and it means giving somebody bad advice. The assumption the Minchas Chinuch works with is that if it's aser to cause a guy to do an avera, it would also be aser to cause to give a guy bad advice, because they're both included in lifnei iver. So if it's aser to do one form of lifnei iver to a guy, it should be aser to do the other form of lifnei iver to a guy. However, the Rambam writes, Hizir me hachshil ktsaseinu. The Rambam say from Mitzvah Losa say, Resh Sadi Tes, we have an iser to be machshil ktsaseinu, one of us, one of our own, in doing an Avera. Again, sounds from the Rambam that it's only against the Yisrael. But it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to give Aver Menachai to a Ben Noach. So Rav Asher Weiss points out that there are two totally different gedarim of lifnei iver. Number one is a mitzvah ben adam l'chaveiro. Like any other isra in the Torah, you're not allowed to do something that's hurtful or damaging to a friend. So the isra to give etza ra'a is an isra ben adam l'chaveiro. You're not allowed to give etza ra'a to another Jew, because that's a regular isra ben adam l'chaveiro, just like smacking him or hurting him or onas dvarim or anything, lashon hara, anything you could do to somebody, to another person, this would be included in that category. The second geder of lifnei iver, of causing someone to do an avera, is both ben adam l'chavero and ben adam l'makom, but more importantly, ben adam l'makom. Primarily ben adam l'makom. When I cause somebody to do an avera, so yeah, I caused him to really, you know, put himself in a bad spot by doing an avera, but more importantly, I've done bad in the eyes of God. I've caused him to do something that God doesn't want done. And that's ben adam l'makom. So says Rav Asher Weiss, why did the Rambam and the Sefer HaChinuch say that lifnei iver only means to give bad advice to a Jew, yet there's an explicit gemara you're not allowed to give an iser to a guy, even to a guy? This is very pashut. The type of lifnei iver that's ben adam l'chavero only applies to a Jew, because all mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero, with two exceptions, murder and stealing, right? Mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero typically only apply to Jews. You have no mitzvah of bikur cholim of a guy. There's no mitzvah of nicham avelim of a guy. Even giving tzedakah to a guy is only mishum darkei shalom, that we have a mitzvah to do it. We have no mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero to a non-Jew. The mitzvahs ben adam l'chavero are only to a Jew. So the issue of giving etzara'ah is only going to be to a Jew. The issue of But the iser of giving somebody an iser, of causing someone to do an avera, that's ben adam l'makom. So that's going to apply to a Jew or non-Jew alike. God doesn't want non-Jews eating Aver Menachai. That's why he told them not to. So when I allow a non-Jew to eat Aver Menachai, I violated the fnei iver ben adam l'makom. So that's how Rav Asher Weiss is mitarits. And he says, based on that, we can explain why it is that the Rambam says you don't get lifnei iver, you don't get malchus on lifnei iver, because it's a lav shebechlalos. Lav shebechlalos means one avera that includes many different ways of violating it, many different isurim. Within one phrase in the Torah, there are many different isurim included. The halacha is, for whatever reason, you don't get malchus on lav shebechlalos. Some of the acharim say the reason is that lav shebechlalos is so much more strict, it's so severe, because here in one phrase it encapsulates all these different isurim, so when you violate those isurim, you're connecting to something much bigger. So it's too severe to get malchus on. Malchus isn't going to be enough to get you a kapara. But either way, it's the achronim have a hard time with that Rambam. Why is lifnei iver lav shebechlalos? Lifnei iver means don't cause somebody to do an avera. Granted, I could cause somebody to eat chazra, I could cause someone to wear shatnez, I could cause someone to kill someone, I could cause them to do all sorts of averos, but that's not a lav shebechlalos. Lav shebechlalos is when one phrase in the Torah means multiple different averos. Over here it's all one avera, it's all the avera of causing somebody to do an avera. For instance, would you say stealing is a lav shebechlalos? Because I could steal a digital recorder, I could steal a box of tissues, I could steal a gemara, I could steal so many different things. So it's a lav shebechlalos? No, it's all one avera, it's an avera of stealing. It doesn't make it a lav shebechlalos. So the way the Rambam defines it as a lav shebechlalos is very, very difficult. Says Rav Asher Weiss, though, maybe according to my vart, that lifnei iver has two distinct elements to it, the two distinct isurim, an isur ben adam l'chaveiro to give bad advice, and an isur ben adam l'makom to cause somebody to do an aveira, that makes it a lav shebichlos. One is etza ra'a, and one is causing somebody to do an aveira. Just one more second. But I thought, and Rav Asher Weiss raises this as a possibility, maybe this is also a nafkamina in our chakira. What's going to make, why might the Rambam consider it a lav shebichlos? It may depend on how you view the isur of lifnei iver. If lifnei iver is an independent isur, it's its own separate independent isur, you're right, it's not a lav shebichlos. The Rambam would be incorrect. But maybe the Rambam understands that lifnei iver is not an independent isur. When the Torah says lifnei iver l'sitin michshol, it's a chelek of each and every aveira in the Torah. It's a portion of each and every aveira in the Torah. Maybe that's what makes it a lav shebichlalos. That when I cause someone to eat chelev, I didn't violate a separate isur, I violated a portion of the isur of chelev. When I cause someone to wear shatnez, I violated a portion of the aveira of shatnez. That's what makes it a lav shebichlalos. That within lifnei iver, you have details of so many other mitzvahs. So I thought maybe that would be that lashon of the Rambam might be explained based on this chakira. You have a question?
Yeah. So if there's two aspects of lifnei iver, so is it that you're violating two different isurim when you do lifnei iver, or is it you could be doing, there's two different types of lifnei iver?
When you give somebody bad advice, you clearly only violated one element of it, right? You've given somebody, you didn't cause them to do an isur, you just told them to buy a stock and you knew the stock was about to tank. Right, so that's only clearly one element. Is the discussion we're about to have actually, what if I cause somebody to do an aveira, right? So I definitely violated the ben adam l'makom part of lifnei iver. Does that count as bad advice also? Meaning, is it a violate, because it's bad advice to do an aveira, right? So is it both by definition, or you say these are two independent tracks? Bad advice means in yanim gashmiim or in yanim that are not related to religion, and causing to do an avera is in religion related issues that cause them to be machshir. Now, so far how many nafkaminas we had? But one nafkamina as to whether lifnei iver includes an aveira that I am not chayev in. Another nafkamina would be whether lifnei iver is a lav shebichlalos or not a lav shebichlalos. Third nafkamina would be, by the way, in our Gemara, when someone violates lifnei iver of an aveira for which you're chayev malkus, does the person who violates lifnei iver become pasul eidos? Maybe that's what the Rambam means in our Gemara, that the person who causes other people to eat treifos is becheskas ochlei treifos. Why is he becheskas ochlei treifos? Maybe this is the Rambam l'shitaso. Lifnei iver is not an independent isur. It's a portion of each and every aveira. So when I violate lifnei iver by causing someone else to eat treifos, it's as if I ate treifos. Because if you view lifnei iver as an isur prati, not as an isur klali. And maybe that's why the guy was pasul eid, the guy would be pasul eid according to the Rambam. It's ki'ilu he ate treifos, even though practically he's not going to get malchus. You don't need to practically get malchus in order to be in violation, in order to be pasul eid. You need to violate an avera for which one would get malchus. For instance, if I violate an avera nowadays that I would be chayiv malchus for, but we don't give malchus nowadays, would I still be pasul eidos? The answer is absolutely yes. I would still be pasul eidos. So maybe this is such an example. I cause someone to eat treifus, even though I'm not going to get malchus for it because it's a lav shebichlalos or whatever, but still, since I, by causing someone to eat treifus, I have a chelek in the achila of treifus, so that makes me pasul eidos. Maybe that's pshat in our Gemara. So maybe that would be a third nafkamina in this chakira. Are you pasul eidos when you cause someone to violate an avera that will make him pasul eidos? Another nafkamina is, what about lifnei iver and isur d'rabanan? I cause someone to violate an isur d'rabanan. So the Ramban and the Ritva write that an isur d'rabanan, there is no lifnei iver and isur d'rabanan. Rabbeinu Tam in Tosos, Maseches Avodah Zarah, says that there is an isur lifnei iver on an isur d'rabanan, but it would be lifnei iver mid'rabanan. You'd be in violation of lifnei iver mid'rabanan. The Ramah and Or Chaim in Simkuf Samach Gimel sounds like that lahalacha. Even on Nisr Drabanan, there is lifnei iver, because the Ramah says you're not allowed to give bread to somebody who didn't wash. Eye washing is only Drabanan. So it sounds like he holds that there's lifnei iver. You're not allowed to give somebody food if you know they're not going to make a bracha. Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Eye making a bracha is only drabanan. So apparently there is lifnei iver on a drabanan. So maybe you could say as follows: what's this issue taluyan? Whether there's lifnei iver on a drabanan or not, whether it's a violation. Let's put it this way: it's for sure aser to cause somebody to do an issur drabanan. Is it lifnei iver mita oraisa to cause somebody to do an issur drabanan? So what might it be taluyan? So it might be totally on what's pshat in lifnei iver. Is the issur of lifnei iver an independent issur? Don't cause somebody to do averos, or is lifnei iver a chelek of the avera that was done? So if the avera that was done was only an issur drabanan, how could I be in violation of lifnei iver daraisa? All I caused the guy to do was an issur drabanan, so give me a chelek of that avera. So all I got is a chelek of a drabanan, not of daraisa. But if you hold that lifnei iver is an independent issur, that it's a separate, independent issur, so then maybe you would say that even when I only cause somebody to do an issur drabanan, but I cause him to do an issur, so mela, I'm in violation of lifnei iver, even on a daraisa level. The rabbanan have that kind of power to redefine what lifnei iver is going to be on a daraisa level, because any time I cause someone to go against the will of God, it's a violation of an independent issur daraisa. Now, that case happens to be a little more tricky, causing someone to do an issur drabanan, because you could argue, similar to what Judah was saying before, you could argue that when I cause someone to do an issur drabanan, maybe I didn't violate the type of lifnei iver of causing someone to do an aveira on a daraisa level, but I at least violated eitzara'a mi daraisa, because it's at least bad advice to get him to do an aveira drabanan. So you could make such an argument that it would be daraisa regardless. On the flip side, you could argue that regardless of how you understand lifnei iver, whether it's a klali or a prati, it would be only an issur drabanan of lifnei iver to cause someone to do an issur drabanan, because it's simply illogical that the person who does the actual avera is going to be in lesser violation than the person who caused him to do the avera. That you just can't have the machshil be in greater violation than the person who was who himself did the avera. Just can't be. So you could argue it both ways, but I'm saying it's possible that that's a nafkamina. That's possible to fit into that chakira and throw it in as a nafkamina. Another nafkamina. There is a machlokas. The Ran quotes the machlokas between himself and the Baal Amar and Sanhedrin later on in the Masechta in Dalar and Beis. And that is as follows. The Gemara is going to talk about, we're going to spend a lot of time in the second semester on Yaharik Val Yavar, averos that you have to rather get yourself killed rather than violate the avera. What if I do lifnei iver on shvichus dam gidei arayos, right, avodah zarah? I do lifnei iver on one of those things. I cause somebody to murder somebody to do avodah zarah. So someone puts a gun to my head and says, you either get your friend to do avodah zarah. He's not telling me to do avodah zarah. You either get your friend to do avodah zarah, or I put a bullet through your head. Do I have to take the bullet? So Nu, what do you say? If you hold lifnei iver, it fits beautifully in the chakira. If lifnei iver is an independent iser, no matter what aveira I cause someone else to do, all I violated is lifnei iver. Lifnei iver is not yaharik val yavar. I don't have to take a bullet for lifnei iver. But if you hold lifnei iver as an iser prati, that lifnei iver is a detail within each and every aveira. So lifnei iver is that when, so then lifnei iver of avodah zarah means that I'm doing what when I violate lifnei iver? A little bit of avodah zarah. Lifnei iver on shvichus damim is I'm doing a little bit of shvichus damim. And the halacha is that not only is actual literal avodah zarah yaharik val yavar, abizrayu avodah zarah, offshoots of avodah zarah are yaharik val yavar. So if lifnei iver is understood as an offshoot of avodah zarah, so then that should be yaharik val yavar. I should have to take the bullet rather than cause my friend to do avodah zarah. The Gemara has such a discussion, quoted in the Ran and Maseches Pesachim as well, about abizrayu de gilui arayos. Not only is sleeping with a married woman gilui arayos and yaharik val yavar, therefore, the Gemara says, and the Ran quotes this in Pesachim, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that if let's say a person says, I don't need to sleep with the married woman, I just need to be in intimate physical contact with her, it's not literally gilui arayos. Still, it's yaharik val yavar. What if the person says, I don't even need to be in intimate physical contact with her, I just need to see her undressed? Still, Yarek Val Yavar. What if he says, I don't even need to see her undressed, I just need to talk in an inappropriate way with her? Still, Yarek Val Yavar. Anything that's an offshoot of any of the big three, of any of the Yarek Val Yavars, are also Yarek Val Yavar. So if Lifnei Iver is an offshoot of each and every Aveira, so then Lechora, that would be Yarek Val Yavar as well. How many nafkaminas are we up to? Five. What if a person violates Lifnei Iver on Chil Shabbos?
Sorry,
yeah.
Yarek Val Yavar, if the person, if you said do a Avodah Zara or I'll kill someone else, is that also like he should be, would the other person be killed?
That's a different story. We'll get to those discussions later. That's a different story.
Isn't that effective in a way?
I don't think so. Over here, that's a question whether that's Yarek Val Yavar in the first place. Even if he tells you to do the Avodah Zara yourself, or I'll kill somebody else, right? So that we'll get to when we get to the Yarek Val Yavar sugyas. There is a what is when a person's Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesia? So what? He just did an Avera. His whole status changes. What do we say about a person's Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesia? He's a Mumer L'Kol HaTarukul. He can't be Messiah into a minion. What if I'm Lifnei Iver and Chil Shabbos Befer Hesia? I'm not Mechal Shabbos Befer Hesia. I cause other people to be Mechal Shabbos in a public way. Can I count toward a minion? So this may also relate to the Yisr Klal Yisr Prati. If Lifnei Iver is its own independent Yisr, so yeah, why not? I just violated Lifnei Iver. I didn't. Why shouldn't I count to a minion? But if Lifnei Iver is a detail within each and every Yisr, so then I have a chelik in the Chil Shabbos. Rashi White's quotes in Shabbos Daf Dalit, Tosus asks, V'chi omrim lo l'adam kadei shiyizka chavircha. The Gemara is an expression that we would never tell someone to do an Avera to save somebody else. Aye, but there's a halacha that a chaver is, it's mutter for a chaver to take maestros, shalom and amukaf, from produce that's not in the immediate vicinity of each other in order to save an ama aretz from violating tevel. What do you mean? If taking shalom and amukaf is an iser, how can I do the iser of taking maestros, shalom and amukaf, to save somebody else from an Avera, to save the ama aretz from an Avera? So the Meiri writes, Tirtu chachmei atzarfatim, that's only when I gave the Amaretz the produce. Where that's where I'm allowed to do it, I'm allowed to take Shlomo Namukov because I'm the one that caused him to do the Avera. But when you didn't cause him to do the Avera, then of course you're not allowed to take Shlomo Namukov. And then the Meiri quotes, Chach me'adoros mosifin, Sha'af ha'chaver ilu chata Amaretz nimtzahu nosin michshol v'yeshol chelech ba'avera. That when the chaver gave the produce to the Amaretz, it turns out he's the one that was nosin michshol, and he has a chelik in the Avera. So everyone asks on the Miri, what's the difference between the two answers? The two answers he gave are the same exact thing. That when the chaver gave the produce to the Amaretz, then he's allowed to be ma'aser, shalom and amukav, to save the Amaretz from violating the Avera. But says Rav Asher Weiss, no, don't you see, in the second answer of the Miri, he adds in one phrase, four words. V'yesh lo chelek ba'avera. In the first sense of the Miri is saying, you're going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver for giving the Yama Aretz bad produce, tevel produce. But in the second answer, he's saying, not only are you going to be in violation of Lifnei Iver, yesh lo chelek ba'avera! Not just Lifnei Iver, you're going to have a chelek in the Isser itself of eating the tevel. Because Lifnei Iver is not just an Isser Klali, it's an Isser Prati. Those 2 days in the Miri may be about this issue of whether it's an Isser Klali or an Isser Prati. Okay, we didn't get to everything. Maybe on tomorrow I'm giving a Hakdamash here. So maybe on Sunday we'll start with the last couple of Nafkaminas. I think I had how many more? Two more to do? Two more Nafkaminas. And then Bez Hashem, we will move on to doing Tshuva. When Bezin Shalmata recognizes Tshuva. We'll have Temin Halacha Shir upstairs now.